This episode is brought to you by Visit Ithaca. Ithaca, New York boasts an authentic craft beverage experience, tasty farm-to-table culinary adventures, and scenic outdoor recreation among 150 waterfalls. Plan your trip today with help from visitithaca.com.
Hey, this is Hannah Forden. I'm the program manager here at Heritage Radio Network. This year, we're celebrating HRN's 10th anniversary, and I want to thank all of our listeners and members for being a part of an incredible year of food radio. We never would have made it this far without all of you. So HRN is now in its summer fun drive, and this is when we turn to you and ask that you make a donation to help ensure a bright future for food radio. Whether you listen to one show or 20, there's a reason why you keep tuning in week after week. All of our content is powered by a small nonprofit, and we rely on your generosity to keep going. Help us keep broadcasting the most thought-provoking, entertaining, and educational conversations happening in the world of food and beverage. So become a member today. To celebrate our 10th anniversary, we have some brand new member gifts available online, so I encourage you to snag your new favorite pizza-themed t-shirt or enamel pin today and show the world how much you love HRN. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate so you can snag your 10th anniversary member swag. And thank you.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Souther Teague.
And I'm Greg Benson.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Oh, man, it's been a hell of a week.
Yeah, I know. We did it. We survived.
We survived indeed. Last week in New York City, we had to endure, I guess is the right word. Tiki by the Sea was last weekend. Middle of the week was BCB, Bar Convent Brooklyn, which I did a couple of events at, including the Montenegro Party at House of Yes, which was outstanding. Then it was Rumfest. Then it was Tiki by the Sea this weekend. Lots and lots and lots of VIPs coming through the bar.
Jesus.
To my bar. How about yours?
A few. We got a few VIPs coming in. I left town.
What?
I did. Well, here's a way.
Shirker.
Here's how I feel about living in New York City. It's like, I feel like when I live in New York, it's like sharing a bed with someone that you really truly passionately love. Like, there's nothing that compares to, like, you know, the companionship and having them there and knowing they're going to be there when you wake up, but nothing is better than the feeling when they leave and you get to stay in bed. Like, that's how I feel about leaving New York. And, like, you know, I had an opportunity. There was something that was going on back home. Honestly, I made the trip before I even, somewhere in my lizard brain, I knew it was BCB, but I think you pointed out to me, I was at your bar. I was like, I'm leaving town. You're like, for BCB?
Oh,
I was
right.
Like, I guess.
Yeah.
But honestly, yeah, watching the skyline kind of disappear in the distance as you're driving away, it's like when they get up and you're like, all right, have a good day, baby. I'm going to miss you so much. Oh, yeah. This bed is huge.
Now I can stretch out and sleep diagonally on the bed.
Finally.
It also happened to be that last Wednesday, this year's Tales of the Cocktail Spirited nominations long list came out, right? So the 10 list. And I think a lot of VIPs came through my bar because my bar was designated to potentially be on the short list for three of them. Yeah. Cheers, guys. Thanks. That's an actual live studio audience.
That's
we got nominated for Best Bar Team, which is amazing, given that my team is just four of us. but I made a big post and shout out on my Facebook to everyone who's ever worked at Amore Margo, and I tagged them for where they're working now to show that the people who come through my bar go on to do even bigger and better. And it's a pretty amazing list, and I was kind of amazed by it as I made it myself. Like, I had to go through and, like, find everybody and figure out where they're at, and it was pretty incredible. And then we got nominated for World's Best Spirits List, which always catches me off guard because I feel like, well, I only have one bourbon. How am I on the World's Best Spirits List? It's because the list also includes places that have a definite focus, which Amore Margo certainly does a lot of Amaro. We have about 280 of them at any given time. So really honored to be on that one as well. And then we got nominated for World's Best Cocktail Bar, which is even more mind-blowing to me.
Congrats, man.
Given that the space is 240 square feet. Again, with a team of four people, it's super, super humbling and amazing to be on that list. I'm honored. And then personally, I was nominated for American Best Bartender, which is, again, shocking. Thanks, guys. Which is, again, shocking, given, again, the size. You know, I feel like other places get a little bit more notice because of their size. You know, I can only see X number of people through my bar in any given night, and I think a lot of bars that are bigger than me can see that number of people per day.
Well, your size is the strength, man. It's just a tiny size.
I mean, yeah.
it works for the space.
I do say it all the time. I'm Ori Margo, small but mighty. And, you know, stuff like this, this sort of recognition really makes the work feel fulfilling. And, you know, so now we're just standing by for the 24th when the lists will come out, which will be it'll get cut down to four. So right now it's the 10 list, right? There's 10 nominees on each list, and it'll get cut down to four, and we'll see where we go from there. So, right. And then we'll be excited to get down to Tales of the Cocktail. Now let's talk about who's in the room with us today. Right here I got my buddy Justin Shapiro. He's the founder of Just Right Consulting and currently serving as Director of Operations for Ward Hospitality. He's a co-owner of soon-to-be-open Palo Vivo in Hastings-on-Hudson, New York. Justin hails from Chicago, where he honed his skills in our business. He and his business partner became the majority investors in what would become the world-renowned tequila mezcal bar, Maya Well, which is part of the Sixth Street Mafia, right on my one block away from Memoria Margo. He became Maya Well's operations partner in 2010 and helped the bar to countless awards, including Best New Cocktail Bar from Tales of the Cocktail. I hope I'm going to win one of those myself. Carry on that tradition. They sustained a run that spanned nearly 10 years, and Justin's now involved in, again, Palo Vivo franchise under the Ward Hospitality Group and growing Just Right Consulting. Justin's a world traveler, holds degrees from both Lincoln College and the College of Charleston. Welcome to the studio, Justin Shapiro.
Thank you for having me.
I hope that was embarrassing, was it?
Yeah, a tad bit.
It's weird when people read out your whole bio, isn't it?
It really is, especially because I tried to convince you to not right before we went on.
Well, I want the listener to know who we're talking to in here.
I appreciate that.
Also in the room, I got my buddy Zach. He's from Reliable Tavern and the Jack Rose Dining Saloon down in Washington, D.C., where he also is the vice president of the D.C. Craft Bartenders Guild. Welcome, Zach.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, just another one of our many listeners and fans who you just reached out and said, I want to come hang out in the studio if I can. And I said, we're always open to that. So glad to have you.
Yeah, like he's that. Not lying when he says that at the end of each show.
I mean it.
I love it.
If you're around and you're in town, come on in.
There's even a few folding chairs in here that we're not using. There's plenty of space, guys.
There's four of us in here now. We've had up to 11 in the room, so... Though it's a tiny room.
Hopefully they were my size.
We cram it full. Yeah, man. Yeah. Dude, you are a busy man.
Trying to be more like you, that's why.
Thanks. You've got a lot going on. Let's talk first a little bit about how you got to where you are, and then we'll talk more about where you are and what you're doing in the future. So
sure.
I mentioned you're from Chicago. You kind of got into the business over there. But you also hold two degrees from two different colleges. Like, how did you get into this business while doing that at the same time?
Completely by accident. So when I was younger, this all started thanks to poetry.
Poetry.
So I used to get out my emotions, and I realized that I really found, just comfort in being able to get out words, and usually I just verbally vomit, and this way I could write it down on paper. And a buddy of mine was a DJ and says, listen, come over to my house and recite some of that poetry over, what I'm going to play for you. Okay. I go over. All of a sudden, he was like, what you're doing right now is called rapping. And I was like, well, we all grew up on rap, but I'm just reciting poetry. All of a sudden, I end up in the music industry just from that day. So I started rapping for a living. Then I decided very quickly and realized very quickly, I hated when people knew me. I did not enjoy performing on stage. I loved being anonymous and being the guy behind the scenes. So I started a record development company, and we opened up a bunch of recording studios in Chicago. At one point, a friend reaches out and says, listen, there's an Indian pop star who would really like you to work with him. He wants you to write some of his music. And we want you to come to the studio, and we're going to introduce you to a production team that hails from the Balkans. So here you have a Jewish kid from Chicago, some guys from the Balkans, all helping an Indian pop star with his album. We all do remarkable things together. And my business partner, who was the production guy at the time, decides time to come to New York and open another recording studio. This is in the beginning of 2008. Well, a buddy of mine comes to me while we're out in New York and says, listen, I understand you're not having a lot of success finding the space that you're looking for. I'm friends with two guys who are fairly well known in the cocktail world. Are you interested in potentially investing in a restaurant, but it's really going to be a cocktail bar? And I said, you know, I've got no clue about anything having to do with a bar. I know that I like drinking, but that's it. Like, I'm a music guy. I know how to run a business, but I don't know anything about
it. Is that what your degrees are in, or your degrees in music?
Business and communication.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Makes sense.
So on that fateful evening, I met a guy named Ravi DeRossi, who then introduced me.
Sweet talking to Ravi DeRossi.
Who introduced me to a gentleman who I thought was homeless. And his name happened to be Philip Ward.
We've all thought that of Phil.
And, you know, we hit it off. I was introduced to them at Death & Co. Ravi originally gave me shit for drinking a beer. You know, what are you doing in one of the best cocktail bars in the world drinking a beer? It's on your menu. Like, I don't, you know, who are you? Oh, I'm one of the owners. Oh, well, I'm here to meet you, I guess.
Right.
So that was our introduction. And 4 days later, we became the majority investors in what would then become MyoWell.
MyoWell, which I just mentioned before, was, I mean, effectively, it changed the landscape of how cocktail nerds view and drink tequila, especially in New York. But at that time, that was the epicenter of the cocktail movement. So everywhere. MyoWell changed the game for tequila and agave spirits.
It was amazing, you know, and obviously in the beginning, I had no idea what we had just become a part of. Phil had this amazing vision. Ravi knew how to run the bar, and it was, okay, here's a bunch of money, and I'll look forward to a check every quarter. We started getting to know them better and better, and then obviously, as anybody who knows Phil and Ravi knows, that they had, you know, a falling out of some sort. And it was literally me getting on a conference call with them saying what I had hoped to be a very rhetorical statement. Do I need to come out there and run the bar? And they both said yes.
So wait, you were back in Chicago.
I was in Chicago.
And you were trying to play mediator on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you made it.
Just looking out for an investment.
And you just said, do I need to come out there and do this? And they both said yes.
And 2 weeks later, I was living in New York and I haven't figured out how to get out of here since.
Well, it makes me want to know what happened to your recording studios.
Do they
still exist?
Actually, we just shut down the last one about 4 months ago. One of my employees from IOL, this wonderful kid, never really had anybody look out for him. And he got himself into the music industry. He put himself through school. And I told him, if you graduate, I'll give you my last studio. And you just have to come to Chicago and pick it up. And so as of this past December, this kid flew into Chicago with one of his buddies, grabbed a U-Haul, grabbed all of the equipment from my last studio, and just opened a place called Treehouse Studios here in Brooklyn.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a fucking... It's amazing. That's an amazing offer you made, and B, that's amazing that he followed up.
He deserved it, and I would not have gotten to where I am without random people along the way seeing something in me that I may not have even seen in myself and saying, you know what? You've got it, so come follow us, or, you know, here's some help, or whatever the case may be. I've been very blessed to be incredibly successful. None of it I would ever claim being self-made. I've had such tremendous help along the way, from my dad being my best friend, the business partners that I've had, being in the right place at the right times, and then making plenty of mistakes that I was able to learn from.
Well, let's talk about some mistakes that maybe you made and maybe you didn't make. Maybe you're just involved in them.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned your dad being your best friend, but off air you told me your dad's also your legal counsel because he's been a lawyer all his life. He's retired now.
Mm-hmm.
But you've had some legal troubles with MyoWell. And I know you can't talk about everything.
Yeah.
But can you enlighten our listener as to what's been going on as far as you can let us know?
Sure. So yes, unfortunately, we were involved in litigation for many years with our landlord at MyoWell. Reasons are reasons. You know, our opinion was different than his, and we decided to let the courts, you know, figure it out for us. Fast forward to us giving back the space and closing August 8th of 2017. And
right after nearly 10 years.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Which
didn't seem unusual to, I think, the outsider, because in New York, that's kind of standard. You get a 10-year lease and you're kind of done because landlords jack their rent up so high the businesses go under.
That's exactly right.
So it didn't seem crazy. Everyone was very upset. I remember the last night at MyoWell was a crazy over-the-top party.
That was the day after my birthday. So August 7th was my birthday, and we had planned on closing that day, and I said, I can't correlate my birthday with the closing of this establishment.
It's kind of iconic place.
What became, you know, it's funny, I did not realize how much of my identity at the time had become ingrained in MyoWell. And it wasn't until we closed that I then realized what that place had begun, you know, become to me. It was not only, you know, the epicenter of my world, it was my social experience. My closest friends, as of today, well, some of anyway, are from these experiences. And I thought it was just another business. and instead it became a way of life.
Yeah, I think maybe that's something that's a little bit different about our business versus, say, I don't know, can't speak to the music business, but other businesses. You don't think people become so camaraderous or so familial if you're hanging out in a bunch of cubicles as a bunch of accountants.
That's exactly right.
But and the accounting firm closes and no one comes, you know, it's not a huge party.
Correct.
To, you know, like, it's like, okay, it's over, moving on.
The wonderful correlation between the music industry and the world that we live in, they're both very influential in making people feel something.
Right.
And so we can all be walking down the street, hear a song that will immediately bring us back to our childhood. You can smell a perfume or a cologne of a significant other from years ago and immediately be drawn back to that place.
Right.
And the greatest gift that Maya Well gave to me was the impact that we made on all of the people who came through our door. The last night we had people who had their first date at Maya Well come through to let us know they were now engaged. We had a couple come by with a baby that was a Maya Well baby. They're right. Quite confident that they made that baby after having come home from a night of drinking mezcal. And those are the things that you take with you forever. And so I think the correlation between, you know, the way that music can move people and the experiences that we all provide on a nightly basis are insanely important.
Yeah.
So, you know, we ended up giving the space back and we entered into something called an asset purchase agreement. So it was basically, you know, let's get rid of all of the litigation. Here's your space back. The only thing that we put in the contract was that you cannot use our name or likeness. You cannot use the name Maya Well.
Seems pretty standard.
You would think so. He agreed to it. Unfortunately, he then chose to breach that agreement. And as you all know, very shortly after we closed our doors, I was getting phone calls, text messages, and emails saying, you know, why is Maya Well still open after we just came to your, you know, your last day of business?
I didn't even think about that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because he kept most of the name.
Correct.
Can we say what it's called?
Sure. He was calling it Maya Well Mariposa.
So it used to be called Maya Well. He just added another word on there.
That's exactly right.
I don't even know what that word means, but... So yeah, I didn't even think about the notion that people would be calling you and the whole team and being like, are you guys still there? Because no one from the team stayed.
No. No.
Everybody vacated.
Correct.
Went on to other jobs, et cetera, whatever. And he then just kind of reopened with pretty much the same interior.
Yes.
I know that some things changed, but not very much. And then effectively the same name.
Yes.
And how quickly did he reopen?
Within the month.
Within a month.
Within the month, wow. Yes. It was absolutely incredible. And then...
So confusing for your brand.
Oh, of course.
And confusing for the people who knew your brand. Know your brand still.
Exactly right.
That brand's going to go on for a long time.
And for you too, I'm sure. I mean, I feel like that's like having a, you know, having a someone beloved pass and then having someone be like, hey, your friend's walking around as a zombie in Times Square. Like, were you aware of this?
It was very surreal. It was very surreal. And people, to their credit, thought that they were doing us a favor by every day calling us to say, you know, what the hell is going on? But to me, it was like every day somebody sticking that knife in and just twisting it a little bit more.
Well, I have to assume also that there's a percentage of people who weren't calling to say, hey, I can't believe you're still open, but just going there being like, oh, I'm so glad you're still open. So giving this guy...
And then coming to see you and complaining about the experience they had.
My shop is just down the block. And yes, we've talked about this off air. People did come into Amore Margo on numerous occasions and say the experience was different and not so good or something. I'd be like, it's not us.
That's exactly right.
To clarify for the listener, Ravi Durassi, who you mentioned before, is your partner, is also my partner in Amore Margo and at Death & Co. So we have, again, that's what we call the Sixth Street Mafia.
That's right.
All of us right there. So not only chiseling away at your brand name, but the brand name of the company as a whole.
Correct.
So, yeah, it was bad for everybody.
It was. And
it was, kind of still is bad for everybody.
That's exactly right. And we immediately engaged him. We thought that we were working towards some type of good faith settlement. And unfortunately, you know, you're told one thing and another thing happens. And finally, we had no choice but to go back to court to try and protect the name. And as of about 9 days ago, we were granted the injunction to now formally prohibit him from ever using the name Maya Well again.
Which also is shocking because you just said Maya Well closed on August 8th, 2 years ago.
Correct.
So he's been doing business, trading on your name, your good name, and it finally, 8 days ago, the court said, stop being an asshole and
It takes a while to navigate through the system.
Absolutely.
You know? So you would love to think that you file a lawsuit on a Monday and by Wednesday you've gotten, you know, your result or you've gotten, you know, some type of satisfaction of, okay, someone's paying attention to us, somebody is listening, and now we can prevent this from happening in the future. But, you know, he would file a motion or his lawyer would file a motion and then we'd have to respond to it. And so literally for the last year, we have been waiting for this result. And now we can finally say that he is now prohibited from using the name Maya Well.
Man, what a fucking twisted story that is.
Slow wheels of justice, man.
Yeah, exactly right.
But, you know, we always say slow motion is better than no motion. This one just happened to take quite a while to get around to.
But at least now we're at a place where everything's kosher?
As kosher as it is for today. You know, sometimes, you know, we plan and God laughs, but at least now the courts have ruled in our favor, and we'll see what happens next. You know, I can't control what he does, but I certainly can control our reaction to it.
Sure.
And he knows that, obviously, you know, we'll follow whatever he chooses to do. It's for as contentious as the relationship has been, I only wish the guy well. Just don't use our damn name.
Right.
So do whatever you want to do. We even told him, oh, you can open an agave bar in our old house. We can't prevent you from doing that.
Right.
Do whatever you want to do. Just don't use our name. Don't try and capitalize on our success.
Don't trade on our name.
That's it. So.
Well, that's a shitty story, and I'm glad that it's coming to a resolve, and I hope that it's going to make everyone happy, including him, right? He's still on the block, and again, for me, as a business owner, and I'm sure for you as well, if it was the opposite, if it was my place having this trouble and you were still in operation, you'd want him to do okay, because we want the street to do okay, because
exactly
the better the
right
street does, the better we all do.
100% right.
But why can't we do it the right way, right?
And that's all you want to do, good business with good people,
and good
neighbors. We all know that's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, what a great place to take a quick stop. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors on Heritage Radio Network. It's our summer fun drive, so you know, go to the website, heritageradionetwork.org/donate. There's some cool new member gifts that you can get a hold of if you donate at different levels, including a cool limited edition enamel pin, a T-shirt, other prizes as well. Go check it out and donate to Heritage Radio Network. We'll be right back with Justin Shapiro.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Ithaca. Located in New York's Finger Lakes region, Ithaca boasts an authentic craft beverage experience, tasty farm-to-table culinary adventures, and scenic outdoor recreation. As the saying goes, Ithaca is gorgeous. The city is home to 150 waterfalls and gorges sprinkled through its downtown and sloping hillsides. State parks and acres of natural lands offer outdoor recreation for every level of enthusiast. Come stroll among the cool ravines, scenic hiking trails, and natural vistas. Ithaca is home to Ivy League Cornell University and Ithaca College, resulting in an influx of new cultures, new tastes, and new energy every year. There's so much to explore, from art galleries and museums to unique attractions like the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Ithaca sits at the heart of a blossoming heritage and craft cider industry. Some of these delicious ciders can be bought in market, but many of the most unique varieties can only be experienced with a visit to Ithaca and this great cider region. Go to visitithaca.com to get inspired and plan your trip today.
And we're back on the Speakeasy. This week in studio, we've got Justin Shapiro of... Well, of a lot of things. So we talked about what the past was. Let's start digging into what the present holds and what the future looks like for you. You're doing a huge project that you told me about on a boat, actually, back in the summer. You remember telling me about it on the boat?
I do. We've run into each other in the most random places.
Indeed.
I love it.
Yeah, indeed.
I love it.
Yeah, we were on a big boat for, I can't remember who, it was a Cognac, wasn't it?
It was.
Somebody took us out, on a 120-foot sailboat, sailed us up and down the Hudson.
That was a good day.
Dave Wondrich was on board chatting about Cognac.
Yeah.
I think they did a great job, except I can't remember who did it.
I can't either, but that was, you know, everywhere that you looked, you saw somebody that you actually liked. And
true.
Then all of a sudden, you know, when the booze get flowing and you like the people you're around, yeah.
It was a very relaxing afternoon. I make no secret of the fact that I love being on boats and that I intend to die on one.
Yeah, that would be okay with me.
My retirement is to live on a boat in the Caribbean.
You are a smart man. I'm coming to see you.
Let's do it.
I'm coming to see
anytime.
You.
So before we get on a boat, let's talk about a resort. What are you doing up in Hudson on Hastings?
Oh, Lord.
Or?
We've got a few things going on. So 10 years ago, a buddy calls and says, you know, I'm going to a party at a private jet hangar. Come with me.
Because that's totally normal in our life.
Of course it is, you know, and especially in the music industry, the entertainment industry, you're called to the most random events in the most
the bar
random
industry, I mean, it's totally normal. I didn't even flinch, but I feel like maybe the listeners are like, wow, that sounds weird.
So, you know, we go and some people are unveiling their latest private jets, and I meet a guy named Duane. And Dee and I end up becoming fairly close friends pretty quickly, and Dee had just started his own real estate investment firm, Ward Capital Management. Fast forward 10 years, he's married to an amazing woman named Joelle. Joelle's family opened Donko Key. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's a third-generation restaurateur. So Dee comes to me and says, listen, I know what's going on at my OL. I know that you're looking kind of to figure out what comes next. Come open a bar with us. And I said, well, okay, and in what regard do you have in mind? And he said, I want you and Joelle to own the bar. You've only ever had problems with your landlord. Come and partner with him. I'll buy the building. You open the restaurant. Let's make some good things happen. So, okay. So he buys a building at 555 Warburton Avenue in Hastings and Hudson. 102-year-old superstructure. The place is just amazing. Used to count Babe Ruth as one of its patrons. He used to bowl in the basement. And we're now going to turn it into Palo Vivo. So basically, flame-to-table barbacoa. We're going to take 20 Latin American countries and flame the table. No gas. All wood.
Oh, right.
All wood. Oh, yeah. So we're basically going to build a big-ass campfire in the middle of our kitchen, in the middle of our main floor, and say, come on in. We're going to get you absolutely hammered. The music's going to be amazing, and the food will be unlike anything you've ever tasted. So I'm going to partner with Joelle. Dee's the owner of the building, and away we go. So that's where this started. So then I start working with them, and Dee comes back to me, and he says, I really like the way that you work. Like, I knew who you were, but now I can see it. I want to create a hospitality division of my real estate company, and instead of either partnering with third parties and what have you, I'm going to be very aggressive, and I'm planning on opening several hotels over the next 18 to 36 months, and I want you to basically run all of the food and beverage of every space that we open. And, oh, by the way, Joelle, who is my partner, at the time had just found out she was pregnant, and she just gave birth to the most amazing little girl, Verica. One, props to this woman. I've never seen... So first off, I will preface this by saying any person who ever says that women are not stronger than men is full of absolute shit. This woman, throughout her pregnancy... popping out this baby at home, by the way. Dee caught the baby before the midwife could arrive. I mean, these people are serious shit. Never missed a step. Never stopped working. Never once was like, oh, I've got two kids. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. This woman is inspiring. And so now she and I are going to, you know, create this Palo Vivo franchise together. And I will then be the director of operations, as I am now, for just about any food and beverage establishment that Dee wants to open. So I'm modeling it. We figure out exactly, you know, what this thing is going to look like. I affectionately, very affectionately, Dee, call him Daddy Warbucks because, you know, hey, you buy it, we'll build it, I'll run it. Let's do what we do. Huh. So yeah, now moving to Hastings.
How far out of the city is Hastings? Can you get there easily?
It's like a small plane ride, a boat trip, and a bus, or you just have to get to Grand Central, and you're only 40 minutes north. It's the easiest commute ever, but I just got tired of it, so I'm going to move up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but no, it's literally about 40 minutes, you know, up the Croton Harmony line, whatever the hell it's called. And it's gorgeous. I mean, you would think you're in a different state. All of a sudden, here are these mountains, and here's this beautiful water.
Oh, I know.
And we sit right on it.
Yeah, as a longtime New Yorker, I feel like we often forget, and then when we take that trip out of the city, it doesn't take long to get out of the city, and you are in nothing like the
and
city.
And you have the whole like bed this. To yourself, guys.
That's right. Diagonally, however you want to lay.
Yeah.
But, you know, and Phil, my partner, Maya Well, would tell you, for about the 8 years that I had gotten down here and was doing nothing other than running my OL, I lived my life in that 6-block radius.
Yeah, because you live right in the neighborhood as well. Yeah.
Exactly right. I was 4 blocks away. So I used to act like coming to Brooklyn was a road trip.
Right.
You know, Phil would invite me to places, and I'd be like, yeah, if I can't walk there, bro, I'm not coming.
Right.
And so, you know, now here came the train, and now I'll actually have a car here in a while. And now we've got
different lifestyle. So wait, let's back up just a little bit. The one with the big fire pit, is this open?
No, we're going to open in the end of September, early October.
And it's going to be called?
Palo Vivo.
That's the name of the whole thing. Okay.
That's the name of the whole thing.
Because I want to be there.
Oh, of course you
That's
will.
That's the place I want.
I'd love to have you.
I want to be to this place.
Yeah, this is going to be something special. We have the basement, which is customizable. So whether it's event spaces, whether we feel like, you know, no pun intended, turning it into like a little speakeasy, we can basically do whatever we want. Main floor seats 92. And then for, you know, about 8 months out of the year, I've got the rooftop. And the rooftop has unobstructed views of the Hudson River, and in the distance, you can actually see the city skyline on a clean day.
So Damn. What's your capacity if everything's rolling?
About 200.
Okay, not crazy big.
Not terrible, because the roof, you can only have 50, you know, by law.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'd love to think that I'm going to pack 100 people downstairs, but you figure, you know, 50 up, 50 down, and another 100, you know, on the main floor.
Sure.
So we'll be ready for about 200 people every night.
Those bowling alleys, turn. Those bowling lanes are gone?
They are, unfortunately, but we're going to repurpose some of the wood.
Oh, cool.
So use it as some accent pieces around the space and really kind of figure it out. But, you know, really just something vibrant. As we all know, being able to now get an amazing cocktail is fairly commonplace, which is a testament to all of you guys and everything that people have been able to do over the past however many years.
Right, the cocktail revolution, we won.
Amen.
It's over.
Amen.
We won.
But now it's about the experience.
Exactly.
It's not just I want a great drink, I want some great food. I literally want to be moved while I'm here. I want to spend good money knowing that I've walked away feeling like I experienced something. And that's exactly what we're going to provide.
Yeah, outstanding. But you're going to do this in multiple places.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. You know, to Dee's credit, one of the things that I've learned from him is the success is in the model. It's not so much in the product. So while we're looking to build the franchise, it's really, you know, if I have to change the name, if I have to change the product, that's okay. You know, it will really be in what we're bringing to the table, experiential, you know, cuisine, cocktails. And you know me, mine's all hospitality. I'm the operator. I'm never going to make you an amazing drink. You sure as hell don't want me in the kitchen trying to cook your food. But I can guarantee that I genuinely care about the time that you're having as soon as you start to walk through our door, long after you've left. And that's why I got in the business. It's why I believe that I've been as successful as I am. You can teach people product knowledge. You can never teach somebody to care.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. We deal with that all the time in the bars, and I'm sure you deal with that too over there, Greg.
Oh, yeah. I would say that, like, you can teach everybody anything except to give a shit.
Exactly.
You can't teach
somebody
to give a shit.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I worked with a guy 15 years ago, maybe more. He's now a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He was in medical school at the time, but he was working his way through that by working at the bar restaurant that I was at. And he was a waiter. His name was Eric. I don't want to call out his last name. Whether he probably doesn't listen. He's a doctor now. He doesn't give a fuck. Eric Guzman, I remember. Anyway, he was standing at the service well one day, and it was just a crazy blizzard of insane business. And I overheard him look at another server who was frantic and going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And he just looked at her and said, "You're only in the weeds if you care." And I was like, Jesus Christ, this guy's never in the weeds because he just doesn't give a fuck.
Doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. And like, I can't understand how to be that way.
No.
Well, yeah, because we're living on the flip side.
It's always in the weeds.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I always care.
Yeah, we give too many fucks, so we're in the weeds all the time.
And it's funny you say it that way. I'm dating the most amazing woman. Unfortunately, she's in Chicago. But one of the favorite sayings between us is, you know, no fucks given equals winning. Because it's true. I'm the high stress one. She can walk into any environment and just be cool as a cucumber always.
Yeah.
She's just like, yeah, it's going to be what it's going to be. We're always going to be fine. You're going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. And I will walk into any situation being like, oh, fuck, we've got to take care of this. I got to do this. You know, just because we're built that way from an operational perspective. And she's like, babe, you're just way too high strung. So I'm going to calm you down. We make a really good team. And just remember, you know, no fucks given equals winning.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know that I'll ever be there. Well, you need those people in your life.
Here's my to-do list for today.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Fucking envelope.
That's my life.
30 marks long.
Yeah, for the listeners at home, he pulled out something that looks like a Unabomber manifesto or something out of his pocket. You can't read it from here.
I'll put my today's to-do list on the Instagram.
Follow us at Speakeasy Podcast.
That's right. Well, that's amazing. So that's going to be unit number one in this scenario.
Yeah.
But this is one building that holds all this. Weren't you telling me about like this sort of complex that you're focusing on?
That's Bayville. So he's now building a resort in Bayville, one Bayville and 33 Bayville that will be truly, I mean, event center, catering. It's two different buildings. We've got a private beach. This will be everything, you know, you'll grab your significant other. You can grab the kids if you want to. You'll come see me. And it's everything you could ever want. And he's got these little pockets just coming up everywhere. And so that's what we were discussing. I think we were at Holiday, actually,
yep,
when we were having this conversation. So yeah, that's the Bayville Resort. That's probably going to come about mid next year. So first it'll be Palo Vivo and Hastings. Then it will be the Bayville Resort, of which Palo Vivo will be a part. But you've got, you know, all of these rooms, you've got, you know, event centers, you've got everything that you could need. You want to throw, you know, your wedding, you want to just come and get away from your wife or your husband, whatever you need, we got you.
And I mean, it all sounds pretty like dynamic and exciting. And how do you,
So for me, you know, I've mentioned more than once in the last 11 months, I've opened 3 new bars, and I'm opening a 4th new bar in 2 months.
Phenomenal.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But they're all, you know, somewhat similar size, shape, and orientation, right? Again, like you said, it's the model that works.
Correct.
You know, my model is each place has its own ethos.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we have Maury Margot, it's all bitters. We've got Windmill, which is all French. We've got Blue Quarter, which is all tea. And then we got Honeybees, which is all American whiskey. So we always have like that part, right?
Sure.
But I still feel like for me, it's I'm kind of doing the same thing over and over. Mm-hmm. You are going from My Well, which wasn't a ton bigger than Honeybees,
correct,
to this big 3-floor, 200 guest monster, to this multi-building resort where people can stay overnight. Like, you know what I mean? Like, one of the greatest things about working in a bar or operating a bar is being able to look at the guests at the end of the night and be like, okay, it's time for you to go.
Yes. Yes.
But they can be like, no, I'm staying here. Here's my key right here.
Literally,
so like,
now.
So how are you scaling up in your own like personal life? And again, I think it probably stems from what you said, which is it's the model that works. So your model is there, but like, how are you scaling up?
Because you're basically taking the model and you're just stacking it on top of itself. So for every place that we're opening in these hotels, the food and beverage dynamic doesn't change. You're just giving me a square footage. You're telling me what I'm going to open, and I can figure out everything else. We can design your bar. We can design your kitchen. Operations are what we do incredibly well. It just so happens that now I'll have one on the 3rd floor, the 5th floor, and a 24th floor rooftop. He's got to worry about everything else that comes to the hotel operations. So I'm still able to really focus on the things that I'm very good at and that I love to do. And then you learn the rest on the fly. You know, thankfully, like I said, I've got some amazing partners. I have amazing resources. One of, I think, my greatest strengths is that I'm very quick to be honest about what I don't fucking know. And I will go out and find the people who are really good at those things. And I will either partner with them, or I will hire them, or I will do whatever I have to do to turn a weakness into a strength. And I'll never forget, you know, when we first opened Maya Well, I didn't even drink agave spirits. This is horrible to admit. I used to drink Crown Royal. And, oh, the only horrible part about
Crown Royal and Royal Crown. That was my drink in New Orleans.
I'm not embarrassed by that part. When we first opened Maya Well, they used to pour Crown Royal into a tequila bottle. And they would name it Justin Special Añejo so that I could toast with people coming to the bar. So one day, Phil and I are sitting there. And I've got my Crown Royal behind the bar, and I look at Phil and I say, you know what? Do me a favor, make me a good drink. And Phil looks at me, and you know how Phil gives you this condescending ass fucking look. And he says, yeah, develop good taste, and then I'll make you a good drink. You fucking dick. I just wrote you a 6-figure check to build this damn place. But it was true. My palate had yet to be introduced to all of these amazing things. And then to his credit, a couple minutes later, he slides down this amazing deep purple concoction that I then learned was the Blackfriar Cobbler. Mm-hmm. So, you know, fresh muddled blackberries, mezcal, slow gin, little sugar cane. And it was over for me.
Sure.
And now I drink nothing other than mezcal.
Convert. Speaking of mezcal, you brought us a bottle. We're drinking it already. What'd you bring us?
Little Del Maguey Papalome. Oh, sorry, I forgot. Got to talk into the mic. This is the Del Maguey Papalome.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's you know, I carry at home sometimes a bigger line than some bars do. just about anything Del Maguey related.
We all go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, we do. So it's just, you know, it's. Just like, how do you decide what you want to eat? You're in the mood for something, and that's what bottle I'll pull kind of off of the shelf or, you know, out of the cabinet. This is one that I hadn't enjoyed for a while, and I figured, you know, you guys of all people would be able to appreciate it.
Man, we're really enjoying it. I've been drinking it since before the show began. Knocking a pretty good dent into the bottle. Thanks for bringing it.
My pleasure.
So 18 months from... how soon is the first one opening?
So Palo Vivo, if all goes well, and you know, we plan, God laughs.
Yeah, of course.
But if all goes well, end of September, early October.
Oh, so we're coming right up on it.
Yeah, we really are. We're really in construction right now.
Really appreciate you taking the time to come see me.
It's my pleasure. I figure out how to pack and move within a week and then open a bar. And, you know,
I mean, I think you said it before, like, surround yourself with people who are good at that. Like,
that's
just it. Hire people.
That's right.
I do the same thing. Like, I'm not good at a lot of stuff, and I put the right people in the position. I let them do it.
My girlfriend, actually, from Chicago, found the apartment that I'm about to move into.
Oh, yeah. Outstanding. Yeah. You're going to, she found it from Chicago, like, over
the
internet.
She was like,
phone.
Yeah, the one that you've got picked out, yeah, you're not going to like it, and probably neither am I. You should really go check out this one. It's got everything that you want. And I was like, where did you? She was like, yeah, don't worry. Here are the pictures. This woman's waiting for your phone call.
Yeah, done.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, slot right in.
Kind of lucked out.
Low stress people, man. They can just pull those rabbits out of their hat.
And she's got two
will.
Kids. I'm like, man, how do you? Okay, I thought I was stressed out, but yeah.
Yeah, right. Just get in there. So you're going to have a hell of an opening party, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, and you're going to invite all of us from New York
up? Of course,
up,
are you kidding?
And you'll
I wouldn't know what to do if I looked around and you guys weren't there. I would feel very odd.
But you'll let us know, and I'll mention it on the show
before,
so we'll point people your way. Because it sounds like a great thing. Like, you know, I love living in New York, but as we've mentioned, I think, a few times in different ways over this episode, there's kind of nothing better than getting out of New York.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, we're going to have plenty of opportunities for you. I mean, you know, this one will just be good guys coming to Hastings. Once we open in Bayville, then I'll literally have places for you guys to spend the night. You bring out the kids, your significant others, you know, whatever it may be. And, you know, then we're going to end up in Times Square, and we're going to end up closer out to the Hamptons. So,
well, you're looking at places in the city as well.
Everywhere that he just finds opportunity. You know, he can spot value in a way that I'll never understand. And I've told him, you know, I trust you. I'm along for the ride. You find it. You want to buy it. You want to build it. I'll run it and make sure that it's successful.
Well, this is interesting because I was the one thing that I was like, I need to ask this guy this question before he got in the studio is I was like, what's the next mezcal? Because we all kind of talk about that in, you know, bartending circles, because mezcal is one of those, it's this amazing success story that nobody had heard of, and then it exploded and now everybody loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel like every summer I hear it's like, oh, sherry's going to be the next mezcal, or cachaça, or aguardiente, or whatever. But it sounds like maybe that paradigm has passed. Maybe it's just about like finding good opportunities. And, you know, now that we've taught people how to like stuff they didn't like before, it's just about finding good opportunities to be good hosts.
And that's what I think it is. It goes back to what we were talking about, the experience. Yeah. You know, I've never claimed to be a spirits or a cocktail guy. So I'm sure that there are things out there that I've never even tried nor heard of. But what I do believe is that after some point, the wheel has already been invented and reinvented so many times that I will be shocked moving forward if there is another spirit or any, you know, whether it's distilled, whether it's fermented, whatever, has the type of impact on the industry like mezcal had. And to me, it's now, we've educated the consumer. Like you said, we won. And now it's about providing that consumer with an experience that rounds out their knowledge, you know?
I think that's pretty well put. And I think that mezcal embodies that in the way that we learned more from. So when we learned, you know, some years ago when kind of American whiskey and bourbon and everything were hitting and being the big scene, you know, again, Steve Olson mentioned that mezcal has been the largest growing category for three years running? I can't remember. Maybe it was four.
I think it was longer than that. I think it was like five or so.
Yeah. So he was on the show just a few weeks ago. We can go back and listen to that and figure out what that number was. But
Steve would know.
He would know, of course. But I think what we also learned was like, okay, here's a product that's delicious and all that stuff. And here's a product that, okay, now we're learning how it's made, which is great. We learn that about every product. But what we really learned, I think, from mezcal was there are human beings at stake here.
Yes.
So that's that experiential level that we got added value out of the bottle.
Correct.
Right, and I think that you're kind of right. I don't know that there's another category that's going to teach us so much in that way, and so now we have to focus on experiential things for our guests to enjoy. Right,
I believe so. And one of the most powerful things that ever happened to me as a result of opening my OL was the very first time Phil took me down to Oaxaca, and he's taking me to places, and he brought the menu with him, and he brought, you know, our menu, and he would introduce me to people as his partner in my OL, and one just the hugs and the love that was being shared with me was moving, and to say it was a humbling experience is a drastic understatement. When they would see their family recipe on our menu,
sure,
and then they began to understand that, you know, thanks to people like Steve, thanks to people like Ron Cooper, that money was going to start making its way back to them, that it was important to all of us that we ensure that money start benefiting the families, the communities, and the culture from which this amazing spirit originated, the look in their eyes.
Unless we run the risk of it disappearing.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword, because now it's become so popular, as you know, the ecosystem is almost unsustainable unless people really get educated in terms of what brands to support, and more importantly, which brands not to support.
Right.
And I'm not going to get into that because I don't want anybody's general counsel to send me a letter.
That's a whole nother show.
But I think it's very, very important that the consumers continue to not only educate themselves, but their friends as well. Because it's not only important, like I said, what you choose to drink. It's equally, if not more important, to know that we should be shunning certain products because they do not support doing things the right way.
Right. Justin, what a great episode having you on. Thanks so much for devoting this much time to come and see us and talk about us about all this great stuff and some of this not so great stuff.
Yeah.
But how you're handling it with aplomb.
You got to take the good with the bad. And like I said, I've been very blessed and I'm just happy to be here. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. If anybody wanted to get in touch with you and also if you wanted them to get in touch with you, is there a way?
There definitely is. So thanks to you, I actually just created a Facebook page 2 days ago because you said you wanted to tag me and I was like, oh, shit. So I'm on Facebook at justin.justwrite. You can always shoot me an email at justshapiro@gmail.com. And I'm really never hard to find. So for anybody who knows me, you know, all you got to do is just give out my number and I'm happy to talk to anybody about just about anything.
Because it sounds like in not too distant future, you're going to be needing to build not only some teams, but some very large teams.
Holy shit. Yeah, we're calling it an incubator. I need to build basically the equivalent of an army.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll need people getting in touch with you about jobs upcoming.
Anybody who's upstate, let me know.
Anybody who wants to move upstate.
Who's willing to travel, listen, that's exactly right.
That's a benefit to those positions is to be able to say, you know what, I've kind of had my time in the city. I want to go live out in a more slower paced environment, but still work in a fast paced business.
And the good thing about us is we value people's worth. We're not greedy. We're not looking, you know, anybody who's looking to either make a change or become involved in something else, we just want to share the wealth. And right now, you know, thanks to what we have going on, there's a lot of it. And so, you know, if somebody's looking for a change or they're just looking to expand or, you know, they know somebody else who's looking to come to New York, whatever the case may be, we now have the opportunity to really tell people, yes, we can help change your lives because we have a lot of different roles for you to be able to fill. It's a great feeling.
Sure. And it sounds like it's a place for potentially unlimited growth and change.
100% right.
Get on board now and you know, there'll be more properties built and you can move around or what have you. I don't know.
Without question.
Those things always happen. Opportunities always manifest themselves.
That's exactly right.
Super great having you in the studio.
Thank you.
Greg, you got anything to wrap up with?
Well, I guess we got to look forward to Negroni Week, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, that's coming up. It never stops. I mean, I am doing...
Every week's Negroni Week.
Exactly. If you're in the industry, every week's Negroni. Every night, it seems like, recently. So I got an event coming up in July. Stay tuned for actual dates, but I'm doing an event with Maine Beer Company, some truly just at the forefront of the game in terms of brewing. They make one of the best. I always tell it to people and they're like, what do you have in your IPA list that's good? I'm like, I have one of the best IPAs ever made by human beings, period. It's their lunch. It's delicious. We're going to have a bunch of stuff. We're going to have some rare stuff from them. Date TBD, but stay tuned. We're going to be hosting them and having some cool stuff up at the Rochard on 97th and Lexington in the Upper East Side.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
I'm doing Negroni Week at all my bars. We're donating to different charities from each bar, but at Amore Margo, we're doing Muttville. My partner is, we named Honeybees after his dog, Honeybee, so yes. He's very interested in dogs, and his dog is 14 years old, and Muttville supports the older dogs.
Dog.
Yeah, she's like a giant cat.
I used to sleep on his couch when we were building my IOL, and she used to come in the middle of the night and bite me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Nip at you to wake you up.
Love Honeybee.
Zach, what are you doing? You got anything coming up?
Yeah. If anybody is free in July and wants to come down to D.C., we have humidity. Yep.
We have what?
We have humidity.
Okay,
you
great.
Come, get extremely hot, but fortunately, we are also throwing the 12th annual Ricky competition.
Oh, that's right.
July 28th, Sunday. The Ricky is the official drink of D.C. Us in New Orleans are the only two cities in the country to have that.
Yeah.
Honor of having a drink. And so we get 10 bartenders from around the region to put on their best Ricky that's mostly sugar-free. And it totally cools off all the heat. So come on down for that.
Hey, what's the date of that?
July 28th.
July 28th. Is Derek Brown got a finger in that pie? Or I know he's one of the ones who kind of substantiated the notion that it would be the drink of the city.
Yeah, definitely. He helped us get us off the ground. And I mean, he was also very influential in getting the DC Craft Bartenders Guild off the ground. It's one of the largest independent guilds in the country. And so we host this as just a good way to celebrate our only native drink.
Yeah, the
it's
Ricky.
It's a tiny place, but like, so it's one of my favorite things about DC is like the things that we've invented, we cling to so fiercely. It's like the Ricky, the Half Smoke, and Mumbo Sauce.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, Chicago. DC did Mumbo Softs first. We just did.
I try and stay in my lane, so we can argue about that.
Well, thanks so much, guys, for listening to the Speakeasy. Check out the Speakeasy Podcast Instagram, where there'll be some photos of today's episode and some show notes to tell you more about how to get in touch with Justin or Zach or even go check out Greg at the Rochard. Thanks for listening, everybody. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll.
Want more of the Speakeasy? Follow us and ask questions on Instagram at Speakeasy Podcast or on Twitter at Speakeasy Radio. You can find Damon at Damon Bolte, and you can find me at Creative Drunk on all platforms. Take a moment to write us a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite platform and give us a star rating, 5 if possible. If you're visiting New York City or a resident, stop by the studio and hang out with us during an episode. Reach out beforehand to make sure we'll be here. We'd love to see you. And please support our show by visiting heritageradionetwork.org and clicking on the beating heart to donate.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.